Chris Benitez.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the latest edition of All Talks of Life with Chris Benitez. Today, again, I want to let you know before I start that God is great, life is great, and you're great for listening today. Today, I'm going to do a little something different. I'm dropping an episode on a Sunday because it's October 31st, Halloween, and I got some special people with me. I got the power couple from the other Denver. Let's not mistake it, ladies and gentlemen. It's not Denver, Colorado. It's Denver, Pennsylvania. But it's my favorite power couple. It's Stephanie and Jose Gonzalez. They came back with season two of a little bit of this and a little bit of that. They come out the gate really, really strong. I was just listening to a podcast, the episode number two of season two today. And I really loved it. I really loved it because it was really informational. It was really strong. It was really powerful. So I urge you to go listen to that. They're talking about the gospel and your rights. It's actually part two. They had a part one last week. It was good. I was listening to that. But there was some stuff going on with this one that really, really hit home as a parent. I know there's a lot of stuff going on around the world today, so go check that out. But let me bring them in right now. Jose, Steph, what I want to know first, before anything, what kind of coffee y'all drinking on right now?
I'm going to let you tackle that, baby. Go ahead.
You're the one that made it. What one did you use?
Maxwell House Smooth and Bold.
Maxwell House Smooth and Bold. Okay. What kind of coffee cream are y'all rocking, man?
Hazelnut.
Hazelnut, okay. I know you guys are like the hazelnut fans. I'm a French vanilla guy, but it's all good. I could get down with hazelnut. Hazelnut is good. Hazelnut is good too. I can't front with that. But the other question is this: is the coffee froth?
Not tonight.
What happened to the froth thing today, man? My man, you didn't hook it up?
I offered and he said no. Yeah, I don't know.
What's going on with you, bro?
There's sometimes, right? Listen, when you just want to just go regular,
you gotta froth it, man. Titi Cheryl's not gonna be happy that you didn't froth the coffee when she listens to this.
Well, yeah, that might be true, but you know, your man was like, "Yo, I'm focused right now."
Listen, everyone. I for those of you who are new onto the show, thank you and welcome. If you guys haven't heard of the Power Couple before, they've been on different shows at different times, but today's the first time they're on together. So I will let my man Jose introduce their podcast and tell everyone a little bit about it. Like, what's been going on in season two, brother?
Yeah, my brother. Thanks, man, for the shout out, man. You know, nice plug, man. As my phone goes off, my bad. We started off this season, you know, just really feeling convicted of the certain things that are happening in our local area. It's happening everywhere, obviously, with this whole, I would say, critical spirit. Obviously, we know that we got to live life, brother, right? Life goes on, no matter if a pandemic. We as Christians are the light. So, you know, we just felt like pressed by the Lord that, you know, we wanted to come back and, you know, reevaluate certain things. And our podcast deals with politics, a little bit of sports, a little bit of, you know, makeup. My wife loves makeup. A little bit of gaming, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. That's the name.
Books, food, kids. Yeah. Dogs, cats, yeah. Friends.
But most of all, faith. Through the, you know, faith is the biggest thing that we stand on. So, you know, we really love what's going on and what's happening, you know?
That's what's up. So before we get to talking about our topic today, right? I just want to ask, because I was hearing the whole podcast. Obviously, you know, I'm a fan and I've heard every single episode. So I was hearing a little something little something strong today from you guys, and I really loved it. And I just, you know, without getting too much into it, because everybody could go listen to it, but just to give a general overview, you guys talk a little bit about, you know, parents right now, and the struggle going on right now with parents and the establishment that you guys were talking about on your podcast right now, because it's more than just Democrat and Republican. It's more than just liberal and conservative. There's something going on in the body of Christ right now that it's like, it's a division. It's going to go into what we're going to talk about today, but there's different points of views. So just give a little overview of what you guys were talking about in that sense. And, you know, just bring it back to the positive effect, if you will.
So a little bit of what we were talking about is just from a place of experience of what I have personally been dealing with the last month or two, and just seeing with my eyes of how the body has been struggling. And that is what obviously the whole world has been affected by the last 2 years with COVID and mandates and government and opinions and so much of everything that's going on. But it really seems to be where there is a pool where people feel they're not getting heard, especially in the body. And we are no longer honoring each other as the bride of Christ, but we are tearing each other apart. Tearing each other apart. And it's really sad to see the condition of the church and how we have traded in some of the things that God demands us to follow with loving one another and esteeming one another and protecting one another, and traded that in for rights or a voice or what we're seeing is grown-ups throwing hissy fits if they're not being heard. Mm. And instead of applying the truth that God has graciously given us, that is still for today, that is powerful enough to handle every situation and sustain us in all seasons. And that's kind of my point summary there. Yeah. I don't know if you want to add to that.
No. Well,
so that definitely there's been a big division amongst the body of Christ. People have certain beliefs and people have certain thoughts and things like that. And I hear what you're saying, Steph, that, you know, you got a lot of big crybabies right now on both sides, whether you're right or you're left, or you lean however you lean, or you believe whatever you believe. And definitely, if we find that commonplace in the Word of God, if we find that common, we will definitely get to a better place. But we got to make that conscious decision, and we got to make that conscious decision that we're going to help others to get to that place. So I know that you guys are committed to that on your pod. I know that, you know, you guys talked a little bit about it, and as we continue to, you know, have conversations, we got to continue to bring the Word of God into the forefront. And I know that there's some people battling with that, you know, in office spaces, and they're trying to let people know, hey, this is how I live and this is what I live by, you know, and there's people definitely battling that inside the body of Christ themselves. And there's another thing that people are battling inside the body of Christ, which is the reason why we dropped this episode today on October 31st, is because there's a lot of people battling about Halloween, you know, right. You know, that stuff right there. Yeah. And I could, you know, play the little tone or whatever, but we're not talking about Michael Myers and Laurie Strode. We're not talking about John Carpenter's Halloween. We're talking about the actual tradition of celebrating Halloween. And I, first of all, before we even get into the Halloween topic, I just want to let everybody know, right now is candy corn season. I just want to let you know what to do with the candy corn. Take the candy corn, turn it sideways, and put it straight in the trash. You understand what I'm saying? If you eat candy corn, this podcast is not for you. That's straight garbage. You get me? Just throw it out. Get rid of
candy corn.
Horrible stuff.
My man, I gotta tell you, bro, that was one of the most sanctified rock lines I've ever heard in my life.
All right. Halloween, we're here to talk about Halloween. Like I said, we're not here to talk about John Carpenter's Halloween. Maybe we'll get into that a little bit later on at the end of the show. But let's see where this leads us, though. So I want to ask you guys, because there are a lot of differentiating thoughts and biblical perspectives about Halloween, the day of dress up. Let's say, right? The day where people go out and they got their Spider-Man costumes on, they got their Superman, their Batman costumes on, their Dracula, whatever it is that they got on, the little angel stuff or whatever it is, right? But there's people within the body of Christ that differentiate with this holiday. So this has been one of the toughest things to maneuver, to talk about, because some people see it one way and another people see it the other way. And nowadays we're living in a culture where if you don't agree with me, you're wrong. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's erroneous, because if you don't agree with the Bible, you're wrong. Because right. God, like I said before on this podcast, God doesn't have an opinion. God has truth. Yeah. So we have certain opinions. We have certain thoughts. We have certain ways of seeing things. But when we go to the Word of God and we find the truth is what sets us free, because right. the truth is from God himself, who right. is the truth. Mm-hmm. So I want to lead off with this, guys. I've heard, and if you guys could enlighten me and my audience on this, right? I've heard that there is, with Halloween, a Druid and Celtic tradition. Can you guys talk to me about that? Can you guys walk me through that? What's that about?
Yeah, my brother. Halloween has a very, what I would say, interesting origin history due to the fact that it is convoluted in multiple cultures. What that really means is, like, it feels like a river of a lot of historical origin, just like a stream flowing down to a river. And it's just like, it can be very confusing at times, but we're going to get into it. The mm-hmm. Celtic tradition with Halloween, they didn't call it Halloween. It was called Samhain, and it's spelled really ridiculous. S-A-M-H-A-I-N. But anyway, what they did in this was, it was basically a turning over of the seasons, right? So you're coming from summer, now you're going into the harvesting season, right? And as you're going into the harvesting season, you know, we all know that out here in America, you know, it's daylight savings time. It gets darker earlier. And then there, the way they viewed that was, you know, the air was getting thinner, meaning spirits that were, you know, that were dead were cross over. And in that, there's sources that said that they got together and they said, oh, let's get dressed up so that the spirits will pass over, because you're not going to haunt a spirit's not going to haunt a spirit. But the problem, I think, well, it gets a little tricky with that saying, is that people earlier, the 600s, 700s in early church history, they were participating in this before the Celtics were, Celtic tradition was, you know, recorded. So you had people doing this before. So you have a lot of convoluted stories of the whole dress up thing. And it seems like the sources were kind of removed like thousands of years, you know. So when you look at that, you see that there's a problematic flow and consistency with that history. What happens next is the church steps in. When I say the church, you know, the Roman Catholic Church basically takes over that region, right? And the Pope, he came and basically he wanted to influence the people, and influencing the people and the cultures that day was bringing unity. And they were celebrating the saints and the death of the saints. And a lot of the times what we see there in that tradition, the church is basically celebrating, you know, the saints that have passed away. They're celebrating, once again, harvest, new harvest season. And it looked a lot like the church adapted the dressing up as their favorite saints, historical figures, and not early church fathers, but like church fathers that were present, you know, they would dress up like the Pope. So they would celebrate together as what we would see a celebration, not like we see in a day and age, a modern day Americanized version of Halloween. They would celebrate by bringing food, like one big potluck. What that means, everybody bringing a dish, you know, everybody getting dressed up, right. Celebrating, you know, they're blessing one another, they're blessing the communities. So we look at that and we see that, and there's aspects in that context that we say that are kind of they all flow and kind of sound the same. But it's not, many historians say, it's not 100% factual according to, like, certain inconsistencies in the source. So the origins do have what you would hear some darkness in the sense of, you know, the spirits. Like, for us as Christians, we hear, like, evil spirits. That turns on red flags, right?
Of course.
I mean, you know, like, you know, for me, dog, you know, obviously we believe in the physical world, but also the celestial realm, you know, where, you know, there's good and evil. So once you hear evil spirits, bro, that turns red flags and the sirens start to go off. But we look at how the church came, right? And their worldview, they brought forth, you know, celebration of past saints and honoring them, and also the harvest. And so we have something going on here that can look twofold.
So did Halloween get started by mistake from the church?
It could very well look like that, dude. But here's the thing. In South America, right, and European provinces, right, they all celebrate, they all have Days of the Dead,
right?
And that's why it becomes very conflicting. It's like, yo man, like, it just feels like a lot of cultures simultaneously celebrate their own version of Days of the Dead, and the church, even though they weren't like celebrating like dead welcoming spirits or anything of that nature, like a lot of cultures do, they were celebrating past saints, right? So here you have the church, right? Celebrating past saints with different cultures that are having their own Days of the Dead, whether they're welcoming former spirits, talking to them, cooking them dishes, preparing the venue. It's kind of complicated in that, like, you can't say that it originated in the Celtic Druid tradition, because you had different cultures celebrating their own versions of Days of the Dead. And then if you're going to try to put it on the church, like, oh, it came from the church, originated from the church, that becomes really complicated to do. So we take the origins, right, and we look at it from this perspective of sources that are not really sure.
So you're saying that Halloween is really like a convoluted holiday. It's kind of convoluted, like the Halloween movies, because they got a remake now, a whole new trilogy. So yeah. Everything about every Halloween is all convoluted, basically.
Right. Yeah. Exactly, dude.
So what's the next question I would have is, what is the modern day application then? Like, how did that come about?
Yeah, my guy. That's good. We look at how, right, the church, in that time, basically you wanted to celebrate, right, the saints. It's called All Saints Day, right? A lot of people in the church now will say Reformation Day, right? Well, America adapted their own version, as we saw, like, the Salem witch trials, right? We see how they took that. We see these figures as well, like that the days of the dead. Even Celtic tradition showed that they would bring forth certain candy sweets to offer to the spirits, right? Mm-hmm. So some say that America adapted that. And, you know, it starts to evolve to the culture as, like, Europe, as South America, as Ireland. The culture obviously took their own thing and made their own spin on it. So America had their own spin on it traditionally.
So what you're saying is that not every tradition, not every country celebrates the way that we do?
Obviously, yeah. Not every country celebrates like we do. But you do see the roots there. Like you see certain familiarities.
Right.
And it can look like, oh, well, that's how we do it, you know? So, yeah, it becomes that aspect of, like, whatever your culture, you know, is, you're going to obviously put your own spin on it.
Okay, I got you. Mm-hmm. Is there, the next question I would have is there any, like, ethical or biblical part that we could talk about when it comes to Halloween? Because I know that there's been a lot of subject and talks and obviously studies about this throughout church history.
Yeah.
We come from a Pentecostal background, obviously, you know, Christian background, or, you know, however you want to call it. And there's been a lot of discussion, you know, parents with their kids, pastors with their churches, leaders with their churches and stuff like that. So is there an ethical or biblical view that we have of this, that we should have of this, or that you have of this?
Yeah, my dude, that's a very good question. And here in this section, as we're about to enter, bro, I would want for your listeners to basically show grace. Mm-hmm. And basically, as we're talking about these certain topics, man, and the era that we live in, everyone wants to cancel everyone, right? Mm. Let's listen with grace here, because like you made a mention, bro, you know how we were brought up, right, in our denomination, right? That was number one, bro. I remember the devil's day, you know? Like, you don't celebrate Halloween. That's like the 11th commandment. As you start to, you know, brand, as you start to grow and you see the beauty of the body of Jesus Christ, you know, we look at how, wow, you know, a lot of people say, you know, man, that's like the devil's day or whatever. There's a lot of Christians that believe, no, well, wait a minute, hold on. How about if they hijacked that day that we basically used in our tradition, they hijacked it for the wrong? You know what I'm saying? Hmm. So it's basically, as we see certain cultures that have darkness, right? You know, the church walks in the matter of redeeming. Now, I'm not saying you redeem witchcraft. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you redeem, you know, certain practices that are satanic and like Wicca or anything of that nature. But there are brothers in the faith that feel comfortable going to what they call a fall harvest or a harvest get together and allow their children to dress up as their favorite comic book superheroes, like we talked about, and go and get candy from the church.
You know what's funny? Now that you mentioned that, for the first time ever, you mentioned this today, and for the first time ever last week, I saw on Facebook what you're talking about, fall harvest, and kids dressed up like pumpkins and getting candies from the church backyard. I was like, I never seen this before, so I didn't even understand it.
Right.
So I don't want to jump out and judge, because I know that a lot of people do that and then they don't have grace.
Right.
But I'm trying to, like, what is that about? I've never ever seen that till last week.
Yeah. I think it's really good that you make that mention of trying to understand. Because we can just jump into conclusions sometimes, right? I remember one of the things like that was frowned upon is going door to door to get candy from your neighbors, because that neighbor could be a witch, and that neighbor can be cursing candy, right? Or cursing you as you go towards door to door. And, you know, as Christians, right? I'm going to read a proverb here real quick. Yeah. Proverbs 26, verse 2. It says, like a flitting sparrow or a fluttering swallow, an undeserved curse goes nowhere. You and I believe we have the Ephesians 6 covering, which is the armor of God.
Of course.
Now, I'm not going to be loose in the sense of like, oh, because I have the armor of God, I get to go to a cult practice and practice their same things and implement them, because 1 Corinthians 10 tells us that we ought not to do foolish things of that nature. But 1 Corinthians chapter 8 tells us, right, that we're all going to wrestle with certain convictions, right? Meaning there's certain brothers and sisters that feel like it's okay to have a glass of wine over a meal, where a former brother that dealt with alcoholism, he says, I will not touch that. And that is sin to him or her.
Yep.
There is absolute sin in the Bible. And then there's the sin that violates the conscience. Right. And 1 Corinthians 8 tells us that. And in fact, in this, in the context of 1 Corinthians 8, it tells us about food, about the curses of food, how ironic it may sound, like we're talking about candy. But 1 Corinthians 8, Paul tells us that we not to be burdened to the sense of like whoever cursed the food or that nature. So there are certain things that we look upon, right, and we may frown upon. But, you know, I think one of the big things is that we need to be gracious to certain cultures. And as we look at these and trying to understand in a biblical worldview like you're trying to do, we have these conversations such as this.
Right. I just wanted to interject and say that if there was something that I would add to this would be, listen, I know it's not in the Bible, but eating candy corn is a sin.
That's right. Right? That's right, brother.
Candy corn is a sin. Because you cannot put something that horrible in your mouth and say that.
That's of the devil, bro. You already know that's of the
exactly. I mean, you know what? I wasn't trying to phrase it like that, but you went there.
I went there, bro.
You cannot eat candy corn and tell me that you're going to go to heaven. That's not happening right now.
No.
and I wish Paul would have attacked that in 1 Corinthians 8 when he talked about food, but for some reason he didn't. But I might add that on there. I don't know. But you that's know, just me.
As I'm looking at this, right, I want to look at it from the view of a person that does celebrate Halloween, like in the sense of not what I'm saying as a Christian that feels like, yo, I don't feel that burden to say, yo, I don't have a problem going to a fall festival in a church, right, with my brethren and my children in a safe place. I want to try to understand and be as sympathetic and open-minded as I can through the lens of scripture. But I can make a case. You want to talk about biblical ethics. that Halloween ought to be celebrated.
Give me both sides of it and tell me as a Christian why you are comfortable going to Fall Harvest, and then give me the other side and tell me why you are not comfortable going to Fall Harvest. So speak for both sides if you can or if you will.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So Fall Harvest, right? And going trick or treating or having a house party in Halloween are two different things. Let's tackle the Fall Harvest with a Christian going to a church with like, and what they usually do is like they have like cars full with candy in the trunk, and they let the kids pick out the candies from the trunk.
That's not every Fall Harvest.
That's not every Fall Harvest.
That's like a trunk or treating.
Right. Yeah.
Fall Harvest is
and if that church has candy corn in the trunk, leave that church immediately.
You better run. Because, you better run, dude.
They could have that. No, yeah, that's trunk or treating.
Right.
But that's
trunk or treating. Okay, gotcha.
That's what churches call it. They put the candy in their trunks, all the members, and then kids can dress up and come. And it's a safe way to trick or treat anyway and at the church. But yeah, it's Fall Harvest.
Very new to me. Like, let me interject here. Is this is like a new thing 5-10 years ago or this year or last year or something like that? How new is this?
This has basically been going on in, I would say,
for years,
for different denominations, for years.
And I would say
of Jose Gonzalez, and his own theological echo chamber, basically in his chamber, just receiving from his denomination and not understanding that, yo, different denominations look at Halloween at a different perspective or a different angle. As the church, this was the church's holiday, right? And Kirk Cameron made a documentary about this, the reason why we can celebrate Halloween. He talks about these certain things. Like
he also talks about pre-tribulation, but you know.
Yeah, I know. You better stop, dude.
Kirk Cameron.
You better stop, dude. You better stop that. Anyway.
I'll leave it right there.
Leave it there, dude. Leave it there. But he says that we're able to celebrate because it was our holiday to begin with. That's Kirk Cameron's take on that.
Right.
So, yeah.
Go ahead, Steph. So you were talking about trunk or treat?
Trunk or treating.
Right. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's okay. So that's basically like trick or treating, but it's usually held at a church. And I mean, other what do you say? What is a community of people that aren't believers? Like,
Like
a VFW, other locations, but churches around here, especially, I say the last 2 or 3 years have really adopted that, where all the members will come and they would fill their trunks with candy, parking lot, and the kids are just told to come and they'll have events and stuff and they just walk around and get candy. Now, that could also be a fall fest, fall harvest party, whatever, but like a fall fest or fall harvest party, I say, if you want to compare it in a summary of it, would be kind of a celebration of like the fall and that it's harvest season. So in a Christian context, what you would see a lot of is like hay bales and like corn, food, just celebrating like the harvest. Now, in other contexts, when you adapt that with Halloween, that could be anywhere from spooky hay rides, haunted houses, apple bobbing, trick-or-treating, truck-or-treating, and things like that. So
yeah, but the churches don't do that.
No. I'm giving a comparison.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, there's some churches that do that participate in Halloween.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen the whole dark aspect, but
I never went because I was too scared. Mm-hmm. We used to go to a thing that wasn't considered a haunted house, but it was borderline haunted house, but just because it was at a church and it was called something. But a lot of things that they did, you would say was extravagant.
Yeah, it was basically, it was called the Tribulation Night. Basically,
they said it was the Judgment.
Judgment Night, yeah. It was basically people that got left behind. You know, the whole Kirk Cameron view on, like you said, pre-trib.
Right.
And it was basically showing the dangers of being left behind. So it kind of felt, had like this, it had this fear aspect to it, but I wouldn't say like a dark spiritual thing. It just felt like, man, like, I don't know if this is the message you want to convey to people that, for the gospel, you know?
I felt that there was a room that actually showed like
It showed an abortion.
That's pretty graphic to be doing.
Yeah.
I feel I've been to, okay, you can ask me this later, but I've been to a few of haunted houses. And let me tell you, doing abortion is considered haunted. They get pleasure out of showing that. That would be a haunted house room for pleasure. So to me, for a church to do that specifically, when that's a hot topic for the world to do for a haunted house, is something that, I don't know.
That's a red flag, as they say now on Facebook.
I didn't go to that. I was like,
that's a red flag.
But yeah, dude. So like, you know, the take on the church would be like, this was our holiday to begin with. Back off, you know, like, so I would see their take on it. And as I'm learning their take on that, it's more, you know, of like, yo, we were here first. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Can I clarify something? I'm sorry. The when I said the whole abortion room, I hope everyone knows, like, it wasn't real, like, abortions. It was just fake. Like,
it was videos and pictures.
And, like, maybe baby dolls and stuff. It wasn't like they were letting people actually come and get that done. Just to clarify that. I'm sorry.
I got it.
Yeah.
So Jose, what's the other side where you would say, okay, I got a biblical perspective on this, if any, and I'm not cool with celebrating Halloween? Because you already explained to us the Kirk Cameron side and what the old traditional Catholic Church will say. Right. So what would the Bible say, if the Bible does say anything, in your point of view?
Well, so with this, I would say to you, dude, like, I think the Bible would be neutral in the sense of days celebrated, like, you know, like how Paul talks about certain days, that some, like, one day may be better for somebody, but another day may, that same day looks like the same to another person. So, like, I think the Bible makes more of a case that these days that are big for us on our calendars, like birth days, to certain people may look better, and to certain people may be like, oh, that's just another day. So I'm not sure if the Bible makes like I have not seen a bold, clear stand in that sense. But I will say this. We know that there's a dark side to Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And as Christians, I can make a case, right, that it is not ethical to celebrate Halloween. I can make that same case for Christmas, but that's another story.
Don't you attack Santa on this episode. Don't you do that.
me and the fat man have some business. But with Halloween, way that we celebrate it here in America, the infatuation of celebrating and idolizing death and murder and horror is at an all-time high. I've heard people say that witchcraft and Wicca have been on the rise. And when we look at these things, right, and we say to ourselves, what are we really celebrating here? You see women dressed up very scandalous in Halloween. And you know those parties, you know, intoxication is big, getting high is big. We see that big on Halloween. It's not a children's holiday. A lot of adults relish on their cravings for this seduction and lust of this darkness. And we know as Christians, there is a dark presence when we see a lot. We see unbelievers gravitate to these things. So when I say in an ethical way, I lean, for me as a Christian, I will not celebrate Halloween through my convictions because of those things, like ethics. When I look at it at a spiritual context, probably some listeners may disagree with me. That's fine. I don't look at it as I once did, that this is the devil's day, because it feels like we give so much power to that dude. Every day is the Lord's day. He's given it. We receive it with grace. We have the Ephesians 6 covering. as long as we are in Christ, we have the armor of Christ, right? I read a Proverbs earlier, Proverbs 26:2, that says that a curse, an undeserved curse, goes nowhere. So if somebody's over here cursing my brother Christopher Beniquez, it's going to go nowhere. Why? Because he has the Ephesians 6 covering of the armor of God, and God's word, you better believe it, is something worth investing my trust and my faith in. So I hear a lot of the spiritual I would say apologetics to, yo, this is the devil's day, this is so much darkness and whatever. But as children of God, we know that we ought not to give this dude so much power, so much praise, because, you know, this dude is under the feet of God. Not to say that the devil isn't someone that we are not to discern, right? The Bible tells us clearly, you know, watch him. You know what I mean? He's like a lion waiting to devour. But as Christians, man, I look at it in this context, it's more of an ethical thing. I will not be celebrating Halloween because of these things. Does that make sense?
No, makes perfect sense, because when I look at the Bible, I read about God saying that not to practice witchcraft, that witchcraft is evil, and obviously Halloween celebrates witchcraft. So I'm not going to celebrate that. And then God also says in one verse in the entire Bible, God says not to cut yourself, right, and make tattoos for the dead. So I know that back in the old, in those days, right, people would cut themselves and make tattoos for themselves, celebrating the dead. So God was saying not to celebrate the dead in that way. So God is telling us in no way to celebrate the dead, you know? So it makes perfect sense, because if we're celebrating death and we're glorifying saints and spirits and stuff like that, that is something that the Bible does not teach, and it is unethical. Now, what I'm going to say here is that I don't believe that a Christian who celebrates Halloween, I'm not going to condemn them to hell. I won't do that. So, and I know you guys won't do that either. Right. But my point of view, I'll say a Christian who celebrates Halloween, I would say, go understand Halloween. And that's why we got together and made this podcast, because if you understand Halloween, then you understand the origins, and you understand that the origins, as Steph and Jose were just laying out, are not origins that are good, because the celebration is something negative. So I also would say one more thing in regards to what you said, Jose, about the Devil's Day. We heard that a lot growing up in church, right? Yeah. The Devil's Day. And there are churches that believe that that is the Devil's Day. And that obviously is erroneous. I will call that out. And there are churches that I know that close on Halloween, no matter what day it falls on. Yeah. Now, obviously today it falls on a Sunday. So we'll see what churches are going to remain open or not. But if you close because you say it's the Devil's Day, then I am not gonna, I'll be honest, I'm not going to view that church the same way, because if you don't see the Ephesians 6 covering that Jose is talking about, then what faith do you have in the Lord? Because I got the same faith as you, bro. If someone wants to throw a hex on me, it's not going to work because of what Proverbs says. Because I believe that I'm washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is upon me. So if the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of God is greater than the power of the enemy, and we understand that the enemy does have power, but obviously no one has power like the Almighty, which is, that's why he's called the Almighty. So I gotta believe for myself and my family that we are greater than, because Christ made us greater than. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So my church, Christian Tabernacle Church, we have never, ever, not one time ever closed for Halloween, because we believe in the power of God, in the Ephesians 6 covering, that he has us covered by his grace and by his armor. So for the churches that close on Halloween, I'm just like, ah, why? You know, take up that mantle and believe in the Lord. And some will say, oh, we live in a bad area, they do bad things. But bad things happen every day. Yeah. Bad, you know, sin happens every day. So we just can't close up our churches for that. That's my personal conviction. I'm not going to send that church to hell either. So I'm not doing either of those things. So I just want people to get that clear. That's just my perspective. Right. But as we come to somewhat of a close here on this topic, Steph, can you share with me any kind of personal story that you have about this holiday? I don't know what your thoughts are on that. Like, just give me something personal here.
So personal. Let's see. I think every time Halloween comes up and fall comes up, I struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Only because I wasn't raised in a Christian home, and I celebrated Halloween. And the reason that I struggle is not in the essence because I desire to celebrate it, but it was that time was when my family was together, and it was a more family-oriented holiday, I guess, that every year when it comes around, I kind of miss that. But what I can share also is that I have a lot of trauma due to a lot of things that associated with Halloween that probably the last, 2 years ago over a buildup. So I would say Halloween instilled in me, not just Halloween, but a majority, a lot of fear. There was a lot of times that I was dragged to like haunted places and terrified. So I have a fear of death. I do not like scary movies. And a lot of that was forced. There was never a safety net to go trick or treating and it be cute. It might have been for a moment, but you would turn and somewhere there would be something scary. Where I stand is, I have compassion for those who are believers who still celebrate it, because I feel like it's an ignorance. That makes sense. A lack of knowing. Right. The same way, you know, you're raised. So like the way I was raised, I wasn't raised in church, but the Catholic church was a popular thing. You go, you do Ash Sunday, whatever, but they celebrated Halloween. So that's all you knew. And I feel like some of the churches here, especially in this area or depending on the denomination, they've never really looked into the history of it. It's, oh, this is something we do, like with Christmas and like with Easter, like, you know. But if we are really wise to pay attention to the effects that it has on our young children, the heaviness of that day, and just even allowing that little snippet, those couple hours, how it does affect us spiritually, because he will have his way. And so I think that's my stand on it, that there should be grace. But I have suffered a lot of mental, what would you call it? Anxiety and fears from Halloween.
Yeah, trauma.
Trauma.
Right.
And I just want to share this one verse because you were asking Jose, and it's a verse that I just think is really good. It's Philippians 4, verse 8-9.
Mm-hmm.
It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything excellent, if anything is excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I feel like in that, where can I find, even in the Word of God anywhere, where do I find scripture that supports for me to participate in something that has a foundation of darkness? Even if I dress like a fairy or an apple, there's still a darkness and heaviness. And I guess my plea would be for parents to be vigilant for their children and to realize that they could be harming their children more than they realize. And they might not see that until like years down the road. So I would challenge them to pray and really seek the Holy Spirit. If they're believers and you are listening, ask the Holy Spirit what his desire is for you and for Halloween.
Yeah. And I think that once again, to clarify for listeners that do celebrate it,
right.
You know, these convictions that you do have, You know, you may feel strong to eat a certain food, like Paul says, or you may not want to eat that certain food. At the end of the day, I really do believe that it's the Lord who leads you to His desire and His will for your life. So by no way we're bashing anybody here. We want to extend as much grace, because that's what Christians are, to be gracious, understanding, open, but never giving a foot to the principles of the gospel. I think that what we're doing here is basically standing on the gospel and looking at certain cultural traditions and basically looking at it from different angles. So I think that that's the beauty about all of this. You know, we want to understand and we also want to inform. So, right. Yeah,
definitely. We could be gracious for sure and not compromise on our values and what the Word of God says. Definitely. You got any personal stories, my brother, about this holiday?
I was always taught to hate it.
Right.
I remember, though, the only time I think I could ever get as close to trick-or-treating was one time my aunt took us to the mall in New York. And I was like, wait, we going to the mall to trick-or-treat? Like, because I always thought you go out to, like, the streets, you know? Mm-hmm. And, dude, we came back with, like, a boatload of candy. My guy, I was like, yo, I could get used to this joint. It's the only time I ever like got something close to the trick-or-treating. When I got home, my mom was tight. She was mad. You already know me.
I know Miss Marilyn. She don't play.
I broke the 11th commandment. You already know.
Me and Jose have a similar story really quick, that when we were together, this was before we were saved,
yeah.
Right? And it was October. And the Rob Zombie Halloween movie got released. It was the first one he did. I don't know if you ever heard of it. Whatever. Rob Zombie is a pretty...
Yeah, I turned it off halfway. Rob Zombie, that movie was trash.
So we went, and this is Steph pre-Christ, so I knew nothing of the gospel. All I knew was I would get my head chopped off if I didn't believe in Jesus. But I still wasn't convinced. I was just scared. So we're sitting in this movie theater, and it's like the first 15 minutes. I don't know, the scene in the woods. I don't know if you remember that part. It's the first killing scene. And I'm sitting there, and it's me and Jose and two other friends. And I just felt... I felt like this tightness on my chest. I couldn't breathe. And I was like, whoa. And I was like, I got to go to the bathroom. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, and I don't think I came back. And he's like, where are you? And I was like, I can't sit in there and watch that movie. I sat out for the rest of the movie outside the movie theater, eating my popcorn. And like 30 minutes later, Jose followed.
Wow.
And like, yeah. And that was,
We weren't regenerated. We weren't saved.
We didn't have the Holy Spirit living in us. We were living like a bunch of heathens. And yeah, so that was pretty intense for me. There was definitely a presence over that. I felt like I was being choked during that movie. And that was only 15 minutes in, so.
That is bugged out. Wow. I didn't even know that. Jeez. Mm-hmm. I ain't gonna front. I seen like half of it and I was like, this is garbage. I'm out. And I was watching it at home on a rerun because if it wasn't John Carpenter's Halloween, I was like, and I was right. It was whack. But let's get to the end here about Halloween because I do want to move on. I got a game for y'all that's going to be the first time ever played on All Talks of Life. It's going to be on this episode. So that's coming up in a couple minutes. But listen, I want to end this segment off asking... Jose, I want to start with you. Steph, I want you to end this off. I want you to end off this discussion. Jose, give me your concluding thoughts about everything that you've spoken about so far, or concluding thoughts that you have in general.
Yeah. Romans chapter 14. The apostle talks to us, and I think it's so eloquent. You want to talk about like ending this, right? You know, I think it's so good to like conclude with God's word, man. And he really hits it up. It's called the law of liberty. You know, he talks about, I'm going to just read a couple verses, right? And my portion with that. I think it's acceptable. God's word ends it.
This is what you got to do.
It says, accept anyone who is weak in faith, but don't argue about disputed matters. One person believes he may eat anything, while one who is weak eats only vegetables. One who eats must not look down on one who does not eat, and one who does not eat must not judge one who does, because God has accepted him. Who are you to judge another's household servant? Before his own Lord, he stands or falls, and he will stand because the Lord is able to make him stand. One person judges one day to be more important than another day. Someone else judges every day to be the same. Let each one be fully convinced in his own mind. Whoever observes the day observes it for the honor of the Lord. Whoever eats, eats for the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. And whoever does not eat, it is for the Lord that he does not eat it, and he gives thanks to God. So in conclusion, the Apostle Paul here writes so eloquently the law of freedom, not freedom to sin or to seek our own desires, but the freedom to basically not violate our conscience. So with that, we as Christian brethren ought not to look down on other Christian brethren that celebrate Halloween or a fall festival. Let us look at this from the aspect of redemption, reconciliation, and unity. I think that that will honor God in all talks of life.
I see what you did there, brother. I see what you did there. That's my guy. That's why you my guy. Steph, give me your concluding thoughts on everything today.
My concluding thoughts is that I believe God's heart for his people is to contend for truth. And when we stop learning, that's when the enemy can have a field day. So I would say to be wise, to pursue his word, to never forget preaching the gospel to yourself, and remembering that, Christ is the source of all. And through him and by him we live, and that... Once again, anybody who participates in Halloween and they're believers, and anybody who chooses not to, that there would be a genuine love and not a condemnation, but an encouragement to strive for what's better.
Amen. Amen. I really appreciate that, guys. I love it. Everybody who's listening today, I learned along with y'all. I was just the first listener. But I learned along with y'all. I didn't know any of this stuff. Obviously, my conviction has always been not to celebrate the dead. But hearing all of this now even affirms it to me more and actually gives me information to give off to everybody else. So if you got this information, share it with somebody. Let them know. Reach out to us. Let us know what your convictions are, because on this show and on Jose and Stephanie's show, we welcome people to say, hey, I don't agree, and then tell us why. Mm-hmm. And then let's see, you know, how we can line that up with scripture, because scripture is what leads our lives.
Yeah.
And without scripture, we are like headless chickens.
Amen.
You know, we're just like going everywhere. So we got to have the scriptures lead our lives. But I want to know if you guys are ready to play this new game I got. Because I designed it just for you guys.
I'm scared.
Now, for those of you heard before, I think episode 4, I think Stephanie was on episode 4, I believe. And we played, what sport is this athlete in, right? So Stephanie, you know, as a woman, you know, as a girl who doesn't watch sports, she had to guess certain names that I gave her. She actually did really good. I think she got like 4 out of 5 or something like that. She actually did like way better than what I anticipated. I didn't think she was going to get Patrick Mahomes, but she got that.
That's so... my boy, yo. I love
you. That's your boy. Mahomes. What's the Chiefs record this year so far? That's your boy.
I don't know. I didn't look at that.
Yeah.
Well, that's Jose's job.
Okay.
Bandwagon.
All right. So, and my boy Jose came on the previous episode. This episode 24, he came on episode 23, and we played top 5, because me and Jose always debating about top 5 this and top 5 that. You know, that's what we do as opinion givers on sports and other stuff. We were talking about today top 5 dogs. So we don't got the list made up yet. I'm not gonna ask you to give me your top five dogs. I know for me, I got my number one. Jose got his number one. We'll do that another time. Okay. And the reason we talk about dogs is, you know, we got our dogs. I got my little Pomeranian Max, and you guys got Frank from MIB. I mean, you guys have Winston the pug. My bad. My fault. Winston the pug. He's not Frank from MIB, y'all. That's just, you know.
He's looking.
he heard his name, yeah.
Yep.
What's up, Winnie? So, guys, let's play Who Done It. That's the name of the game. Who Done It?
Oh, no.
All right. First thing I want to know, Who Done It made the first move?
And us?
Yeah.
Oh, me.
Ooh.
No doubt.
The lady went first.
Yeah, I was very disappointed with that. But, yeah, that was definitely.
Hold on, though.
I don't think you want to ask about that.
I think a lot of people listening right now are very disappointed in Jose Gonzalez.
Hold on.
I would say that a lot of people, my dude, are disappointed what they just heard. Because you did not make the first move.
We need some context, my dude.
What do you mean? Like context? Like what kind of first move? Like
yeah. No. The first move.
The first move. It wasn't you. It was your dad.
That's not a move. My dad didn't make a move on you.
No, I'm saying.
I'm not talking about how you guys met. Who made the first move? Forget yes. about how you met.
All right.
I made the first move.
She made the first move.
Yeah.
It was me.
Yeah.
And when I was doing that first move, he like pulled away and like didn't respond to it. So it felt awkward.
Oh.
I was like, what the heck is wrong with this guy?
We got to move on because a lot of people right now are just thinking, you know, Jose Gonzalez, like, I got to get you back in the good graces of the people, Jose. I got to move on, man, because I don't even know what to say right now. All right, man, listen. Who done it? Said I love you first.
Jose.
There you go, my man, Jose, making up some ground. Come on, brother.
He said it, baby. He spelled it on his mom's refrigerator in alphabet letters.
He's making me look really dumb.
Hey, listen.
To say it.
Hey. He said it, though.
Yep.
He didn't actually speak it, but he said it. I'm with you, my dude. I mean, hey, you got to be spontaneous. You was being spontaneous in the moment. I hear you making out the little magnet letters, man. That's what's up. I see what you're doing, though, brother.
And if I had an alphabet soup, I would have done it.
No doubt. Got that little Campbell's chunky noodle soup. I see you, bro. My man. Donovan Mech Gonzalez with the chunk noodle soup. I see you, bro.
Yeah,
number three, who done it? Proposed marriage.
Oh, yeah. Come on. That was me.
My man Jose got 2-1 right now, making up some ground, bro. I see you, man. You started out a little soft. You started out a little slow, but you coming on strong, brother. I see you, man. So this joyous occasion happened where and when?
This happened at Stephanie's mom's kitchen, my mother-in-law's kitchen.
In Shenick, Pennsylvania.
It was on her birthday.
How old was I turning?
You were turning 18.
No.
Wow.
Woo! No.
How old?
Get the couch ready, Izzy. Get the couch ready. This is unbelievable. Daddy's going to couch today.
I was 17.
17. Yeah, we were young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And your boy was
my birthday party at my mom's house.
Mm-hmm. And I was engaged with you for like the longest.
But he's asking you the story, love.
Yeah.
We were together for 4 months. It was a birthday party get together. My family, friends were there, and he decided to get down on his hands and knees, ask me to marry him. I hugged him, and then he kind of ran away to the other room. Right?
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Ran away?
Yep. Remember? You hugged me, and then you went away.
I left. Yeah. I was out.
I was like, okay. And then we shoved cake up each other's nose.
I was a little overwhelmed. Yeah.
Yo, my dude, you sounded like a little, I don't know, like a little.
He wasn't
like,
serious. He wasn't serious. So we got to clarify that.
Anyway, moving on.
Yeah. Anyway, that's another story.
No, wait. What do you mean moving on? This ain't your show. What do you mean moving on?
Oh, I like this.
You all talking like this, Chris Benico. What do you mean moving on? I got to hear why you ran away.
Your boy wasn't ready, bro. Your boy was acting like a little too soft that day. I got to admit it.
So you started off soft, you came on a little strong, and now you're going back to soft, bro.
That's a bunch of
soft serve ice cream.
Woo! Soft serve, Mr. Softy. Somebody cue up the piano, Mr. Softy's playing right now. Let me go with number four right now. Number four, who done it? Talked about kids first.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's obviously, really you cool. guys, obviously, the Lord bless you with a great one. You guys made a great one. My man, Izzy.
Yeah.
Love Izzy. Him. But who talked about Izzy first?
That's a good question.
Did we talk about Izzy first?
No.
We tried for 4 years, but.
I think it was Steph. This one was Steph.
Yeah. Okay.
Uh-huh. He had a little girl in his neighborhood named Janelli, and he would always say, "Hi, Janelli," and I'd be like, "Oh, that'd be cute to name a kid," and then I think it kind of went off that.
Yeah.
All right,
then he said he wanted to name his son LeBron Harlem. Good night. What is wrong with that?
Lord. We're going to move on from that terribleness right now.
Oh, we can't stay there?
No way. No. There's no way we could stay there. That is just... Wow, that's like beyond forgiveness right now. That's just crazy. So we got 2-2 right now on whodunit. We got 2-2. Whodunit number 5. Who picks the movies on date night? Or who picks the movies on movie night when y'all at home? Mm. Whichever one you want to tackle.
That would be me, brother.
Okay.
That'll be me.
So what usually it's a Marvel movie, right?
Nah, man.
No. Or do you give in and you go watch the chick flicks?
All right, so the chick flicks are usually the ones I would give in to. I ain't gonna front.
But they're ones we watch over and over again. So we stick to one.
They're usually, common ones that we watch over and over. Like, we don't like new chick flicks because they seem corny.
Mm.
They're not written... Basketball, I don't know if you consider that a chick flick.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
Julie and Julia. I love that. Yeah. We watch that together.
Yeah.
P.S.
I love you.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. So, like chick flicks like that, my dude.
I got you. Okay, good.
TV series. That's kind of been something we'll do. Watch TV series together if we have a date night. Or we end up on YouTube watching a preaching or a debate. That's what...
But Jose gets the point on this one, though.
Yeah.
Even if it's like a debate with like the greatest Christian debater I've ever seen, Dr. Michael Brown, this guy would tear you to shreds.
He's up there, bro. He's up there.
And be super nice about it. I've never, ever seen, like, I can't even compute how you could be so nice and at the same time tear somebody to shreds. Like,
it's beautiful.
Speaking biblically, like, just be like, yo, dude, you sit down, you watch this brother, and you'd be like, what? Mm-hmm. Like, this is like the nicest guy in the world, and he's just like making you just shut down, like, relax. Yeah.
Like, he gets the Michael Myers knife.
Really?
I'm just saying, yo.
Well, it's the Halloween special episode. I mean, you know, throw it in there, man. Why not? Listen, I need to know who done it. Mm. Picks the restaurant on date night.
Picks the restaurant on date night.
Yeah. Who got the taste buds? Who got the right taste buds up in here?
Okay, we usually fight about this.
Who ends up winning?
Who picks, love?
I think that will lean towards me.
I guess Jose would eventually pick, but I kind of direct because he'll last minute want to go super far, and I'm like, I ain't doing that because you didn't plan it out. So then he'll pick a common place, but he is not allowed to order his own food because it's always a horrible fail. Just saying.
Hold up. I got to come to my boy's defense a little bit. And I might get a little egg on my face. I don't know. But he did tell me and my wife to go to Plaza Azteca. Now, I don't know if that's a Jose thing or a Stephanie thing. But my boy told me go there, and I told others go there. And if they listen right now, they know who they are. And they're like, yo, this is the spot for Mexican food.
Mm-hmm.
So was that a Jose pick or that's a Stephanie pick? I need to know.
Stephanie.
Jose, what's going on with you, bro? Like, right now?
Well, first it was a Cheryl. It was Tiki.
Come on,
Cheryl.
Jose. You Tiki doing, Cheryl. Man?
But me and Jose went there, and I ordered my meal, right? Which is the meal I don't know if you guys got. It's the meal I always get. Jose's like, oh, I'm going to order something different. Guess what happens? He hated it. So he's like, I should have let you order for me. So ever since then, from that day on, what do you get, love?
The burrito mix.
You get what I ordered, right? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So the reason
so
why
that's
your
a point
people
for Stephanie, or that's a point. That's a point for Stephanie, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think so too. Yeah. I'm gonna go with that. I'm gonna go with that because
I'll tell you, this show is biased.
You're without defense.
This show is biased right now, man. For real.
You look as soft as Mr. Ice Cream. So what's going on with you right now, man? I just don't understand what's going on with you today. I thought I knew you, bro. 25 years. I thought I knew this dude.
Yo.
I'm coming to find out today, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know this brother at all. I don't know this dude. I thought I knew this brother. We've been rocking since elementary school, and I'm sitting out here finding out things that I never fathomed in my entire life about this brother right now.
Listen, bro.
You're down. You're tied right now, 3-0, man. I thought you was gonna be up 6-0.
Nah, son, I'm up.
You just really right now. I just don't understand what's going on with you right now.
Listen, I'm just giving her a shot.
No, you're not.
Listen, man.
That means you're a liar.
Exactly, and liars. You already know what the Bible says about liars, so I know you're not lying. I know you're not lying, brother. They don't inherit the kingdom of God. I know you are not lying. Don't play with me like that.
All right, man.
Listen, right. Man, I need to know who done it. Who makes Thanksgiving dinner? Thanksgiving coming up.
Woo.
And I know that that's someone's favorite holiday.
That's the greatest holiday of all time, brother.
Mm. Who hooks up that dinner, though?
That will, bro, you know what? What's the main...
like the dinner in a whole? Because if it's the dinner in the whole, then it's both of us.
Yeah, but what's the main course?
No, not the main course. Who makes the whole thing? Like, you know, who hooks that up?
Both of us.
We both work on that. Yeah,
okay.
We both work on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then when we talk about the bird, who's making the bird?
You can't speak now?
I just want you to say it.
You're mute?
I just want you to say it. It sounds better for coming out your mouth.
Jose makes it.
Oh, there we go.
All right. Okay.
He's so proud. He needs to be humbled
right that
now.
I think that everybody listening right now will say, okay, then that point goes to Jose. That's what I think everybody would say. But since Jose said both, I'm going to go with both. So y'all going to stay tied right now.
That's so grimy.
What are you talking about?
This reminds y'all, you know what? This is like the Olympics, bro. You're like an Olympic judge.
Come on, man. You started out saying both. Why?
Come on,
why do I got to give you the point, man? I mean,
come on.
You talking about you make the bird. Okay, fine. But I'm pretty sure that Stephanie kicks in with some other stuff.
Steph. Oh, she kicks. Yeah, she kicks.
I don't
know.
The
dessert.
The veggies,
there
the
you
shrimp.
Go. Rice and beans.
The dessert is banging. She makes the illest leche cake, bro.
All right. So there you go. I mean, I'm not going to eat some bird and some rice and then not have some and then not have dessert.
Yeah.
So I got to tie this thing up. It's got to stay tied, bro.
This dude's like an Olympic
I mean, you're sitting
judge.
Out here talking about like I'm an impartial, like you know, like if I'm, you know, just like messing it up right now, like if somebody's bribing me or something like that to referee this thing.
This is how crazy.
Like, my name is not Tim Donaghy. Like I don't fix this. You know what I mean? Like I'm a down the middle ref here, man.
Yo, man. Oh man. Yo.
Here we go.
We move on.
Here we go.
All right. My man Jose almost made a cardinal sin on this show today. And he almost got on the jolly fat man with the red suit. You don't do that here. I need you to understand that. But I need to know who done it. Who buys the Christmas gifts around the house for everybody that you're going to buy them for? Who does that?
Both of us.
Both of y'all. And I'm not talking about who kicks the money. I'm talking about who makes a decision. Like, this is what we're buying Sean, and this is what we're buying Cheryl, and this is what we're buying Olivia, and this is what we're buying whoever.
Well, see, we don't buy everyone a gift. The Adele's and us do a Pollyanna or Secret Santa where we pick who we get.
Okay.
And then we agree on, we just go shopping and buy for the kids, and we usually agree. We're like, oh, this is for whatever. We just know, right?
Yeah. Would you guys agree?
Yeah.
Got you.
We're still tied. Love.
Come on. You're still tied. I'm just.
Give me a good question, Chris.
My man Jose almost got on Santa, and that's something like a little unforgivable around these parts right now.
Jose's a good Santa.
Me and Santa.
I will cancel you, bro. I will cancel you like Dave Chappelle.
Oh my gosh.
I will. Don't you go there.
You're my man. Yo, I'm telling you, you in hot water right now with the Christians, with the pre-trib comment. You're about to get canceled. You better knock it off, bro.
Listen. I got one more whodunit.
Ooh, this is it. This is like game seven.
Breaker.
This is game seven right now, dude.
This is the tiebreaker.
Feeling the game seven vibes.
Whodunit? Who walks Papadopoulos the cat?
Me.
There you go.
I walk my cat and I'm proud.
Jose, this is where I need you to step in, because who walks a cat, brother?
That's what I'm saying, dude. Like, so like, if I would have took that, it would have been like kind of like a partial win and a loss, because I don't want to walk a cat.
You don't
want to
walk your dog.
I don't want to walk my dog. Word. He walks a cat.
Me, the person in the love of your life, walks a cat.
That's right. You do.
If you're listening right now and you walk your cat, I will not visit you for Halloween, because I'm afraid you'll kill me. Because I don't understand who walks cats.
He loves it. His tail gets fluffy and he gets happy.
Oh, Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Who Done It. That's the first edition ever of Who Done It with Jose and Stephanie Gonzalez. But I can't move on in this Halloween episode. I can't finish this Halloween episode.
There you go.
Without talking about a top five.
Oh man, dude.
I need the top five. I don't know if both of y'all gonna contribute. I got my top five.
Oof.
Top five slashes of all time.
Top five what?
Slashes.
Oof. Jose. Do you got a list? I got a list. I'll give you my list first. I'll give you a couple seconds to think about it.
Yeah. Thank you. Give me your list, bro.
Number five. I'll be your friend to the end. Chuck. The little demonized doll. Chucky. That's my number five right there. That little dude was a little terror. It was hard for you to see him.
Yeah.
Like, he would sneak up on you and it'd be a wrap. He got you.
Yeah, that's true.
And then he came back after being like melted or something like that in Chucky Part 2. That dude was something else. Little fast little critter too.
That's right.
Number four, I'm gonna go with ugly old Leatherface himself.
Oof. Yeah.
That dude right there, man. He's something else. He's something else. Number three.
Mm-hmm.
If you fall asleep, this brother's coming for you.
Oh, man. Ooh, you got him at three.
The dude with the ugliest sweater of all time, with the ugliest Christmas sweater of all time. It's an insult to Santa Claus himself.
Mm.
Freddy Krueger.
Mm.
Number two.
Ooh.
I'm sorry to do this to my man. I own most of the movies.
Huh.
But I gotta put Michael Myers at number two.
Wow,
that's my guy. Wow. That's my guy.
Wow.
He's become bigger than the series itself. He is the star of the show.
Mm.
But nobody has ever done what number one has done.
I gotta hear this.
Even though he can't swim.
I already know.
This brother right here is killing dudes whenever you come to his crib. You can't come take his cookies. Mm. He's killed over 200 mm. of these little swimmers. Don't you come up in Camp Crystal Lake. His brother will get you with that machete now. We talking about the one and only Jason Voorhees, a dude who killing people in space as well. Don't forget that. Mm. Jason went to space. Mm-hmm. And then he shot out of orbit, got on fire, and still survived. I don't know how you do that. I don't understand that. But that's my top five, yo. We're going to go with Chucky, Leatherface, Freddy, Michael Myers, and Jason Voorhees at number one. My man, who you got?
My man, I'm telling you, dude, you surprised me there, bro. Those two are top there. It's very, very challenging. So at number five, I got the dude from Jeepers Creepers. Ah. Mm. All right, that movie was pretty intense. I think that it was I liked the way he put a spin on that. That dude was scary, man. I can't front. Not as iconic as Chucky though. But for me it was scary. Number four. I got my man Leatherface up there. I had to put him up there. I think right there that'll be our same there. But this is where it all changes.
Okay.
This is all where it all changes. Number three. I got Jason Voorhees. Mm. Jason Voorhees was a bad man. For sure. Scary. Went to space. He even went down to the underworld. I mean, you know, he's a scary, iconic dude, man. But this is where I think you take it up a notch. I'm explain. Number two, I got that ugly Christmas sweater wearing dude with the claws. Ain't no bootleg Edward Scissorhands. No, he's the real deal. He's Freddy Krueger. Let me tell you something, bro. When you have a song, I'm going to tell you it does something. Talking about 1-2, Freddy's coming for you. Bro, when you heard that, bro, and that one scene with the bed, oh, bro, that dude got me, bro. I couldn't, like, the whole notion of going to sleep, you think, as a kid, going to sleep was something, like, nice and safe, you know? That dude took it to another level, my man, going to sleep. I didn't want to go to sleep. And number one, get your piano ready to hit the chord. My man Michael Myers, my brother. I mean, goodness. When you have, when you have music to go with that carnage, it does something to you, bro. You don't forget that as a kid, bro. You hear that, dude, and that terror just goes right down your spine. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, this dude, no talking, that stoic, like, I'm coming, I'm walking. And no matter how fast these dudes ran, they got it.
Yeah. You
know, like, I'm like, goodness, man. Like, Michael Myers, he has to be my GOAT, my man.
I got you. Steph, you got a list?
I guess.
Well, you got to. I didn't even participate in this.
A little surprise here. Okay.
Probably not going to be able to sleep after this, but.
Come on.
Okay, number five, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Whatever. Five would be Jeepers Creepers. Mm. Five would be the Leprechaun. Four would be Jeepers Creepers.
Whoa.
Remember the Leprechaun?
Uh-huh.
He was freaky, yo. He was tiny.
Yep.
He sliced the back of your heels, yo. Okay, yeah. Three would be Leatherface, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, dude.
Yep, that's his name? Yeah. That's Leatherface.
Okay. Ooh, this is hard. Two would be Candyman. He terrorized me as a child.
Yeah, he terrorized me too. Yeah,
because of personal experience. Okay, okay, so okay. Don't be looking at me like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And now this is hard. Who else terrorized me as a child?
This is number one, baby. You better not come out with Chucky.
No, not Chucky. Chucky terrorized me. But I'm trying to think of the main two that I have a lot in my head because my grandmother watched horror films all the time.
Who, Mama?
No, my mom, Jenny.
Okay, okay.
See, now you made me forget who I was going to say. I would say Freddy.
Okay, okay. For me. Freddy, but I do like the Candyman pick, though, in there, because Candyman, man, he was serious. He definitely had me, too. I'm not going to lie about that. I like that list, though. I like that list. I can't front. The Little Leprechaun, I thought about him, too. I saw his movies, but I just thought he was a little funny, so that's why I couldn't put him up there with Chucky. I thought he was funnier than Chucky for me. But I like the list, though. That's what's up, though. I like the list, though. It's been awesome. It's been great. The Halloween episode. I love doing this with you guys. I thank you guys for coming on. I'm very surprised that Stephanie even had a list on the top five, but I'm glad you gave it, though, because I love it. And you're the first winner of Whodunit. You made Jose look softer than he really is, than what people saw him to be. And that is an easy task to do. I'm not even going to say it's hard. That's an easy task to do. But that's my guy right there. I love him, though. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. Guys, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate you guys. I will definitely continue to be... continue to listen to season number two. I'm enjoying it. I don't know when the next episode is coming out, but I'm definitely looking forward to it. And I want everybody to know that the same places that you get this podcast, you can get a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And I don't know what they got coming up, but guys, stay tuned. Because I'm pretty sure that my boy Jose is going to talk about Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving coming up, and that's his favorite holiday. So you might get some cooking recipes or something like that. I don't know. But I'll be tuning in with y'all. So, my people, once again, thank you for doing this. I love you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Everybody know.
Love you, too.
Red Sox suck.
Before we go, Jose just shouted out the Red Sox. You guys got any personal shout outs you guys want to give to anyone?
Yeah, Kevin Eshelman, pastor Ephrata Community Church, out here in Pennsylvania, Ephrata, Pennsylvania. We love you, brother. Keep peeling your head up.
Steph?
I don't know if any shout outs off the top of my head.
You can give me your shout out. I'll shout somebody.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm getting tired now.
I'm here. I'm going to shout someone out.
Shout it!
Sheldon Hurst.
Oh, God.
I shout you out, my brother, because you made a horrible bucket. And you said the Lakers are going to win a championship this year. Oh, boy. I'm going to shout you out as many times as I can.
The great thing is about a podcast is that if the Lakers win, people could come back to this podcast and slam you for slamming Sheldon. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the latest edition. Thank you for tuning in to All Talks of Life with Crispin Equez. Once again, I let you know that God is great, life is great, and you're great for listening. Until next time, peace.